99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
Current temperature in Reno, 50 degrees under cloudy skies. I'm John Potter, live and local. Okay, it begins today. On the Live and Local show, you remember last election, we had candidate after candidate appearing on this radio show, which was a good public service. We get to know these people. Today, we have a candidate for Nevada treasurer in next year's election. Our current treasurer in the state, Zach Conine, already has said that he is out. He is running for attorney general in the state since State Attorney General Aaron Ford said he is running for governor. It's all power and careers to these guys. I think, actually, Zach Conine will fit right into the AG's office because, like Aaron Ford, Zach Conine, from what I've seen, does an awful lot of press releases and talks to a lot of local media about bad things about President Trump. Aaron Ford has turned that into an art form. It's press release after press release about how terrible President Trump is over matters that don't really affect Nevada. Zach Conine doing the same thing. Anyway, he's out of the treasurer's office after the election next year. And on the phone, we have Jeff Carter. He is a candidate. By the way, Zach Conine and Aaron Ford, both Democrats. Jeff Carter, what party do you belong to, sir?
I've a lifelong Republican Party, John. Thanks for having me on the program.
Well, thank you for calling in. And by the way, folks, this is a paid interview. I have to say that up front. But Mr. Carter has not given me the things to talk about. He has not sent me a list of questions. And so this is, to me, an educational public service of knowing who to vote for in the upcoming election. Tell us about yourself, sir.
Sure. People ask why I'm running, and you know, I'm 63 years old. I had a career in finance my entire life. I don't need this as a job. I'm not a career politician. I detest career politicians. I really don't ever need to work again at this point. But I'm doing it because it's really important to me to have qualified people in the right positions in government to right-size government and run it efficiently. And so I decided to, exploring this run, and I moved here from Illinois. People should know that, you know, because somebody's going to call me a carpetbagger. But it's important to know that me and my wife went around the country because Illinois was a mess. I don't know how much you know about Chicago finances or the state of Illinois finances, but anywhere you Google them or look them up, they're just absolutely some of the worst in the country. And so we knew we were going to get out of there, and we would live for weeks at a time in a city. And we went to, Austin, Texas, and Nashville, and we landed in Las Vegas. And it turned out it was during COVID, and we really liked it here, even despite COVID. And so we chose Nevada and we moved here and bought a house and rehabbed it. And so we just love it here. If you want to know more about my background, I traded interest rate futures at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange as a professional trader for 26 years. I was a yield curve trader, which is directly relates to the treasurer's office, because you are trading and investing taxpayer money in uni bonds and interest rate futures and things like that. So it's a direct thing. It's what I've been doing my whole life.
Well, you mentioned the thought that people might have of you being from Illinois as a carpet bagger. And we've had so many of these guys, millionaires and billionaires. When I worked in Las Vegas for 10 years at Channel 13, these guys from other states, usually from New York, and California, they would put on a big cowboy hat and get on a horse somewhere in the desert. And that would be Mr. Carter, that would be their TV commercial. And 99% of them, when I was at Channel 13, 10 years or so, they would always lose. And I think the difference between you and those guys is you have a real reason why you left Illinois. I just read an article yesterday, the number one state where people are leaving, it's no longer California, it's not New York, it's Illinois. How bad could it be there, sir?
How bad is it? If you look at their pension debt, it's a crazy high levels. Property taxes are out of control. Sales taxes are out of control. When I moved from Chicago to Las Vegas, people in Chicago said, you know, Las Vegas has a really high sales tax. Las Vegas' sales tax is 8.25%. Chicago's is 10.25% and going higher. My friend Ted Dabrowski is running for governor in Illinois, and he's at wirepoints.org for years, and they've documented every, you know, financial problem with the state. In Nevada, the reason I think I'm really qualified is because when I was trading interest rate futures, I bought my seat for $580,000 in 1992. By 94, it was worth $1.2 million. By 98, it was worth $280,000. We were going out of business as an exchange, and a group of us took control of the boardroom, and we fundamentally remade the exchange from a member-run, non-for-profit to a corporate for-profit exchange, and we were the first exchange in the world to publicly list on the New York Stock Exchange in November 2002. When I joined the board, it was worth $100-150 million, and today it's a $90 billion behemoth. It's the largest exchange in the world, most powerful exchange, and we fundamentally remade worldwide finance. After
let
that,
me ask you, let me ask, Your resume is phenomenal. You made money grow. You say Nevada has hope and a bright future if we fight for it. What are you looking to change, and what's the problem in Nevada right now, and what is there to change? What's the problem?
It's interesting. I think that the growth of government in Nevada is starting to accelerate and increase. We just sort of saw it in the last special session where they said, you know, if we spend money on this or money on this, you know, we might be broke by 2030. I was talking to somebody the other day, the city of Reno can't afford to put Christmas lights out, or somebody told me. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't been to downtown Reno, but that's what they told me. So you really have to watch the growth of government. And I think somebody with my perspective that's coming in from the outside, that understands technology, can implement a lot of that into state processes, which doesn't necessarily get rid of employees. What we found with like artificial intelligence and things like that is people become significantly more productive. So if you're able to bring that into, let's say, the state treasurer's office, you can make people respond to taxpayer needs quicker, faster, and more efficiently than they do now. You know, one of the roles of a treasurer is to get lost property back to taxpayers. Well, you know, maybe an AI scraping engine could do that a lot better than a manual process, right? That's just one example.
Wow. The last good, in my opinion, the last good Nevada treasurer we had, my favorite was Mr. Ken Santor, and Bob Seal. He was good too, but, Mr. Carter, we're talking 1980s and 90s here.
I was making markets on the yield curve back then. I talked to Brian Krolicki last October. Yeah. He was a two-term treasurer. And I talked to him a lot about the job. So, you know, in my exploration of this, it's not something where my ego said, oh, I just want to do this and pound your chest. I was asked by people from Nevada in politics to consider running for it. And then I did due diligence like I would do on any startup that I ever invested in. And so I talked to Brian. We talked for 2 hours, and all I did was ask him questions. And I think Brian, you'd have to ask him, but I think he walked out of that meeting going, this guy's not going to run. But I was not just talking to him. I've spoken with a lot of people about this job, about what it takes to be successful. And so, you know, I want to do it. I've been a great investor my whole career, and it's really important to me. I've managed other people's money, and our fund, for example, at Westloop Ventures is a 3X fund. Everybody's received every dollar back already that they've invested. We've got companies out there that are going to return, you know, hopefully millions of dollars to us. But I really want to be a good steward of taxpayers' money, and I want to maximize the return on investment and pay strong attention to risk. People don't understand risk-reward very well. The treasurer of the state of Illinois, when I was saving up for college, I had that 529 plan, lost 34% for me in 2008. And my daughter went to school in 2009. It was terrible. And it sticks with me, right? These people that are career public servants, or they want to be career politicians, or they've never been in finance, you know, they've never had a real job, you know, they get into these situations and they don't know what to look for. They don't know the right questions to ask, and they don't have the right network around them to lean on. So I know muni bond people all over the United States that are, they've talked to me and they're like, look at you, you got to do this because state treasurers and county treasurers don't know what's going on in a lot of cases. There's some good ones, sure, but there's a lot of them that aren't good, and we'll help you. And so I have investment bankers in New York that I know that'll help me. I have investment bankers, you know, all over that'll help me. So I have an intense amount of financial experience for the job, and I want to do it. So it's the time for me.
Very easy to talk to, very approachable. A lot of folks may recognize you from being on Fox Business. You've been on CNBC.
Yeah.
Bloomberg says here, yes. Rick Santelli is a friend. I like Rick Santelli. Such enthusiasm
at
his
guy.
Age. Yeah, he looks that
he's
way.
He's a great guy. I've known him for years. We went to the same high school, but he was 10 years older than me.
Well, I got to take a break, Mr. Carter. And when I come back, we're going to talk about your opponents. There's one in the Republican primary. And, of course, there's a Democrat. I don't know if we have a Democrat opponent. You probably know more than me. We're going to get catty and talk about your opponents. And also, you write here something that astounds me, that in this state we have over 300,000 Nevadans who have crypto accounts. And I'm curious to hear your take on things like Coinbase and these other. Well, I got to take a break, I know, but just think about what you want to say about that. Yeah, I'm fascinated by that. So one more segment with Jeff Carter, folks, 884-9910 if you have a question. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1018.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local. The texter is correct. There are no official candidates yet for this election, according to Ballotpedia, but Zach Conine has already announced to the local media that he is moving on from the treasurer's office. He wants that AG job that Aaron Ford is leaving to be governor. Jeff Carter is announcing right here that he is running for Nevada treasurer. And, of course, we get questions when we have the candidates on with us before elections. Bob is calling from Sparks. Hey, Bob, you have a question for Jeff. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, John. First of all, let me compliment you and also having your guest on. His name is Jeff. Is that correct? The question I have for him is, what does he believe or think that his opponents are going to say about him?
Okay, Bob, thanks for the call. We'll let you go. Go ahead, Mr. Carter.
Bob, the question. John, just to be clear, legally, there's election laws, and that's why you can't say that you're running until you file, because otherwise you got to file all this paperwork in December. So I haven't announced yet, but I'm exploring a run, and I'm really close. But, you know, legally, there, you know, these things when you're a private business guy, you don't know about, like, but legally you can't say that. Bob, they're going to call me a carpetbagger for sure. I've lived here for 5 years. My wife and I chose Nevada. We went through that. They're going to say, I would say, I don't know what Drew will say. He's my opponent in the Republican primary. Drew's run twice. He's lost twice. He underperformed Trump by 6 points in the district that he should have won. He should have won his other race for Clark County Board, but he performed badly. And he doesn't have any experience, right? He's been a think tank guy. He's never gotten his hands dirty in finance. My Democrat opponent is going to call me, you know, a Trump fanatic, you know, all the stuff that they call Republicans all the time, Trump fanatics and all this stuff that is meaningless for the treasurer's office, because the treasurer's the steward of taxpayers' money, and you're trying to get the best return on investment with risk reward in mind. One thing I won't do as a treasurer is put in a lot of ESG or DEI regulations or restrictions around investment. I think that's one of the dumbest thing an investor can do, because you automatically limit your term of return. So like if you're an economist, you'll call that normative investing. And normative investing makes, you know, value judgments about it, which are dumb. They never work out. I've seen startups try to do it and they always fail. And so I wouldn't do that as a treasurer. I think the other thing they may try to say is I have no government experience at all, and I don't. I think that's fair, but I think in this day and age, maybe it's good to have people without government experience. You know, Trump's done a decent job as a president, I think, and he didn't have any government experience coming in. So I think I'm the same. I think there's plenty of other examples of that. So career politicians are a real bane on the American Republic, and I just don't like them. And I won't be one of those. I'm 63 years old, and I will not be a career politician.
Well, you don't, on your resume, I don't see politician here anywhere. You actually, one thing I wanted to just briefly bring up to you, you're on the board of the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. Do you have a veteran background? Oh, you were. Oh, that's right.
No.
2009 to 2016.
I was. No, I briefly attended the Air Force Academy on a basketball scholarship and dropped out, believe it or not. My uncle fought in Vietnam, but my dad and grandparents don't. My dad's father worked as a welder in the New Orleans shipyard during the war, which is one of the ways my ties to New Orleans. Wow. It's a wonderful museum. If you've never been there, you've got to go. You can do a lot of stuff digitally online if you go to their website at National World War, National WW2 Museum, two is a number, .org.
Thank you for doing that.
Gratifying to be a member of that. Yeah. And I did a lot with Medal of Honor people. Walt Ehlers was a close personal friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He stormed the beach at D-Day, and it's been an honor to be a member of that.
Oh, I love hearing that. Let's go to John Jay calling with a question for you, sir. People are already fired up for this next election. Hey, John, good morning. Glad you called. Go ahead.
Thanks. Hey, to Mr. Carter, the last guy we had trying to run for office that, quote unquote, was a carpetbagger, he was trying to get our congressional seat up here from Mark Amadeus, and he wanted to take property taxes and rate them based on what the sale of the home could be, as opposed to the way it's done now. What are your thoughts on that? How would you deal with property taxes? And do you believe that there should only be a one-time property tax when you buy your home?
That's a great question. It's one that the state treasurer's office really doesn't have any sway over. That's more of a legislative issue. But I'm not dodging the question. I come from Chicago. I had a $300,000 apartment in 1,100 square feet, and I paid $8,000 a year in property taxes when I left. So I understand property taxes. I have to be honest with you. Look at this thing. I wonder why we keep paying rent to the government for so many years when you own your house. I kind of fall in, you know, DeSantis's camp here. Why don't we get rid of them altogether and figure out different ways to fund things rather than property taxes when people own their homes? It's different for investors. It's obviously different for businesses. But, you know, if you're just a homeowner by yourself, once you pay your house off, why you keep paying taxes on it? I mean, I know people paying $50,000 a year in property tax in Chicago, and I'm not exaggerating. And that's like rent to the government. So I think one of the things I know a lot of economists, and I love Milton Friedman to death. One of the things that they talk about is consumption taxes being more efficient than any other tax, income, property, or anything like that. And I think we have to sort of refocus our efforts that way. I was on the board of advisors for fairtax.org, which seeks to end the income tax in the United States and repeal the 16th Amendment. And I think property taxes and land taxes are a thing of the past because we just couldn't tax consumption before. You couldn't track it. You didn't know how to do it. And there was a lot of barter and things like that. And our economy's totally changed now. And so you can look at consumption taxes and things like that, which are way more efficient than property taxes and income taxes. And you as an individual choose when you want to pay that consumption tax. So if you don't want to spend the money, you don't pay the tax.
Well, I hope, sir, for my sake, you do file. This is Jeff Carter, 99% he sure candidate for Nevada State Treasurer. And I hope you're on again, because we didn't have time to get catty about your prospective opponents, which I think is the best part of interviews. I appreciate your time.
We didn't talk about crypto either.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to come on again. So talk to the station about that. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Carter. Jeff Carter. Name in mind
for
yeah. Thank you, sir. For Nevada Treasurer 2026. We're already getting fired up about it. Awesome. I'm John Potter, live and local. Going to break briefly for Fox News and local news with Greg Neft on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:30.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 99.1fmtalk.com.
Okay, it's 10:36, live and local. I'm John Potter. In the studio with us, Kyle and Joe. Kyle is Joe's son-in-law, but Joe, as he moved here from California 37 years ago, I proclaim you a 100% Nevadan. Joe, you run this office or business from Carson City. Thank you so much for not doing this interview in the Carson City studios. No offense, Craig. But it is adds so much to look you in the eye and talk to you before the interview begins about what you're all about.
Yeah, I wanted to come up and meet you personally. So
why?
Just because I've watched you for years on the news and now I listen to you on the radio station pretty much every weekend. So it was really was an honor to come up and meet you.
You watched me for 20 years. And you liked it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You
hear
that channel, too?
Yes. They blew it.
Okay. I like you already. Floor Masters, Nevada. What is Floor Masters all about, Joe?
We are a carpet cleaning, tile cleaning, carpet repair company. We service residential, commercial. We've been doing this. We've been in business about 25 years, and we love what we do and love our customers.
What business were you in before?
I owned a trucking company for a little bit.
Oh, that's changed, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Trucking's gotten like cheap, hasn't it?
Well,
I mean, when you hear this talk about illegal immigrants as truck drivers,
crazy.
Well, you look around and you kind of can see it even here.
It's amazing. I mean, how can you drive a 80,000-pound vehicle down a highway without knowing what a road sign says? It's crazy.
Well, anyway, we could go on forever
about that.
Yes, we could. So, Joe, what's your son-in-law do with the company? You said he's going to be the future boss, huh?
Yes, he is. I'm getting old. I want to retire when I'm young enough to enjoy it. So my son-in-law, it is a true family business. My son-in-law works with me hand-to-hand. He does everything I do, repairs, cleaning. He runs one of the vans. We have multiple vans. And my daughter, his wife, runs the office. She takes care of all the office work. And they are going to take over and hopefully send me a check every month. Would be nice when I retire in a couple years.
And you guys serve Carson City. Let me see here. Reno, Sparks, Tahoe, Gardnerville, Carson Valley, all Nevada, not California. But to go from the trucking industry to this, why of all things, Joe?
Well,
and Kyle, why of all things pick floors?
Well,
what do you love about floors?
I did it. I got a car accident, but I had both businesses running, and I realized the cost to run a trucking company with all the regulations and all the fees and taxes. And this business has a lot less. There was just, in all reality, there was more profit and an easier business to run.
Well, you know, what do people not know about their floors? I paid no attention to my floors, Joe, right. Kyle. What do I not know about what that floor needs? Kyle, I'll let you take this one.
So the longer you go without steaming your carpets, the dirt, the allergies, all that stuff soaks into the fibers and you're breathing all of that.
Yeah.
So when we steam that, it gets rid of all that. Your allergies get better. Air quality gets better.
So there's a lot of stuff there I don't know about, huh?
Yep, the dirt and everything that gets into that carpet, it's floating around, your dog hair, everything like that. So steaming it out, our steam comes out at 300, so it sanitizes, cleans it, gets rid of all that stuff. So makes your home fresh and clean.
What if I don't have a carpet? What if it's a hard floor? Is there trouble there?
No, hard floor cleaning is recommended also. You know, you're still got a lot of dirt buildup.
What happens if you don't clean it?
When you're mopping the floor, it really just spreads it around. You're never pulling it out. Our system extracts everything. So when we're cleaning, for instance, hard floor tile, it really pulls all the dirt out of the house and the dirty water out of the house. So it stays cleaner longer and it's fresher.
And you do repairs. What happens, Kyle? What's your typical repair? What happens?
So over time, and with the new carpet nowadays, the carpet gets loose and it'll start rippling. It looks almost like a wave effect. So what we do is we pull the carpet up around the baseboards, power stretch it. We use a power stretcher on all that, so our stretching.
A power stretcher.
Yep. So it's got two pins go into the wood subfloor, and then it power stretches it out, gets rid of all that loose carpet, and then we cut it, tuck it back in, and carpet looks brand new.
Holy, I didn't even know such a thing existed. What other gadgets do you have with this business?
Well, you know, a lot of times dogs or cats will chew holes in the carpet. People think that, you know, it's ruined. You can't fix it, but you really can. You can patch that out. And in most cases, the fresher the carpet is, when the damage is done, you can really hide those. I don't like to use the word invisible, but they're camouflaged. It's hard to see the patches. Even if you don't have carpet left over from the original install, you could always pull some from an obscure spot like a closet, patch it in. Put another piece that matches close into the closet. And you know, I always like to tell my customer, the owner of the house, the wife, she'll always see my repairs. It's hard to hide something from a wife in their beautiful house, but Aunt Ginger will never see the repair.
Let me say this. Now, I have I have hardwood, basically. I don't really have carpet at home, but I have these three mangy cats, and they have destroyed some good upholstery. Do you deal, since you deal with carpet, do you deal with upholstery?
Yes.
I was hoping you'd say that.
We clean couches, recliners, mattresses, any kind of fabric that we can clean. We put our soaps and antimicrobials on it, and then we steam all that out. So furniture comes out very clean, gets rid of all that dust and stuff on all those fibers also.
How about tile and grout? You get involved in that?
Yes. Tile and grout's one of our... main focus is we do a lot of cleaning of tile and grout, especially the grout. People don't realize, like I was saying earlier, that when you're mopping the floors, you're really spreading the dirt around. The mop's not pulling that dirt out, and that's how it kind of absorbs into the grout lines. Natural stones, you really got to be careful with that because it'll absorb into the stone. Man-made ceramic tiles aren't very absorbent, but the grout lines are. So again, our system extracts all that dirty water. It pulls it out to our van. We run hoses in, we pre-treat, we agitate, scrub the grout lines and tiles, and then steam it out at about 300 degrees, but it's the extraction. We suck that out of the house and into a dirty tank and take it to the sewer plant.
Yeah, I had a stone counter, and I had no idea these things absorb water.
Oh, yeah.
And it can ruin them, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's hard. You know, they stain just like anything. They will stain. It's harder to on a hard surface to create stains, but if you leave a spill long enough, wine, coffee, those are really, a product that stains and can leave...
And you mentioned tile and grout. Some people think that that's an easy job. that all they have to do is buy this grout sealer and put it on. It's there's a lot more to maintaining your grout than that, I'm sure.
Yes. Manufacturers recommend, they recommend once a year. We don't. We recommend you, as your house, you start to see the resoiling and stuff getting dirty, you clean it as you need it. It's hard to label or categorize everybody as needing it once a year. But yes, it really should be professionally extracted. You know, cleaning it yourself is a good idea. But cleaning and sealing professionally is really important because of the process and how it's done and the heat.
Cleaners, whatever they're cleaning, they're different. They have categories. Some of them are so wholesome and organic and vegetarian cleaner. I don't know. Some use or stick by the old standbys, powerful chemicals at work. What phase are you in with FloorMastersNV.com?
So our chemicals are still very powerful. One of our best ones that we use on carpet is called a grease eater. It has all the
Grease eater.
Yep, it cuts down all that dirt. It is an antimicrobial, but it still is pet and human safe. So once we get done, we spray it all. Every inch of carpet will get sprayed, or tile if we're cleaning that. Then we steam it all out and suck all that out. So no chemicals are left behind, even though it's pet and human friendly safe. So once we get done, anybody can go right back onto that carpet.
So we're talking safe and non-toxic for pet owners. I mean, that's an important thing, you know. Well, what about these chemicals? Non-toxic?
Yes. We don't use anything toxic. We've never ran any harsh chemicals through our systems. Our systems are Butler systems, the best equipment you can get on the market. So we don't run anything harsh through that, so you can be sure none of that stuff goes down onto your flooring.
Joe, what surprised you most about this business when you were starting it, 23 years ago? That something was more involved than you thought, or you learned something about floors just running this business?
You know, in all reality, what was most surprising was the amount of competition. There's a lot of other cleaners out there, but you realize real quick a lot of them are they're not. I guess I would say they don't take their customers' needs and reputation and
They
just don't do. There's a lot of guys that don't do as great a job. There's a lot of great companies out there.
How do you stand out? How are you different? I know what you're talking about because when I had a townhouse, I hired this floor guy, and I swear this guy did no more than I would do with a vacuum cleaner. He was done in like 20 minutes,
right.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, is that it?
Right. They just don't stand behind their work. You know, that's one of the things with us is we guarantee all our work.
Well, you know, that's refreshing because I'm always harping about how there's no customer service anymore.
Correct.
I mean, I can tell you stories, and it's just that's refreshing to hear. That's great to hear. Let's go to the phones. John, put those headphones on, my friend, Joe. John is calling from Washoe Valley. I assume he has a floor question. Hey, John, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
I actually don't have a floor question. I just wanted to say hi. I just wanted to say hi to Joe because I used to work with his wife many years ago in a DME company.
Oh, hey, John, how are you?
I am good. I don't know. I don't think you'd probably remember me.
You know, I don't at this time. Did you work in the back down there on was it on Mill Street, right?
No, it was that was in Reno when she worked in the Carson City office. I worked with her there.
Okay, yeah, she worked down there back by the hospital.
Yeah,
you got him. All right,
yeah, ran the deliveries, right?
I did. Yep.
I remember you, John. Now, just it took a minute.
Yeah, we John. Went to a Christmas party together.
Yes. Yeah,
John, how is Mr. Joe here as a floor person?
As a floor person, I can tell you, I really honestly don't know. But as a person, let me tell you, I've never met a more honest and hardworking person in my life.
Wow.
Thanks, John. I appreciate that. Checks in the mail.
This man did not have to do this, call up and take his time and wait on hold. He is so impressed with you, Joe, that he had to come on and say that. I think that's very admirable. Thank you, Joe.
No, that's absolutely the truth. Absolutely.
Awesome, John.
Thanks, John.
Puts a smile on my face, too. All right, we're going to take a quick break and be back for one more segment. Folks, if you have a question about your own home, and especially the floors, the tile, the grout, the carpet, the repairs, whatever, Floormasters Nevada. In the meantime, you can go online, floormasterscarsoncity.com. That's your website. You thought it was floormastersnv.com.
I got both of them.
Both
links will take you right to the website.
Oh, awesome. Check it out, folks. All right, one more segment with Joe and Kyle of Floormasters. I'm John Potter, live local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:50.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Floormasters. I love that. Is that part of a nationwide, is that a corporation, floor? Is that like Stanley Steamer or something like
that? No. We're a small family business.
You thought up the name Floormasters?
I did. Well, a friend of mine
I'm amazed it wasn't taken.
I know. There's some around, you know, there's other companies in other cities but it's not a nationwide company. This is a company that I started 25 years ago.
And you service Carson City, Washoe, Reno, Washoe Valley, Reno, Sparks, Dayton, Minden, Gardnerville, Topaz. You go to Topaz?
Yes. One of our biggest accounts, the casino down there.
Oh, no kidding.
We've been doing that for, going on 15, 18 years now.
I used to go there when Bob Cashel owned it.
Yep.
Virginia City.
Yep.
Spanish Springs. And what's your favorite? You do so much here with the tile and the grout, the furniture and the upholstery, the carpet repairs, the restretching, the carpet cleaning. What's your favorite thing to do?
My favorite's the repairs. In all reality, there's not a lot of guys that do what I do. There's not a lot of companies that do what we do as far as taking care of the repairs. And that's the biggest reward, because in my eyes, and what I feel is, and I hear, is that people think the carpet's ruined and they have to get new carpet.
Yeah.
And in most cases, they don't. We can save it. So the restretches and repairs have the biggest reward. When you're cleaning, you see a night and day difference. It is immediate gratification. The customer's immediately happy. But again, the repairs it's harder for people to find somebody to do what we do when it comes to the repairs. So that's the biggest reward, I think.
Well, for a carpet repair, I mean, you need a patch of the original carpet, don't you?
Yes.
Okay,
you
still do. I mean,
yeah, the carpets have to match. They have the dye lots. People don't realize you can't order carpet that was made today to match a carpet, even if you know the colors, the manufacturer, and all that, and you order the exact same carpet. Unless it was made on the exact same run,
what?
It will be different. The dye lots
Why?
Are different. So,
you mean that it's not consistent?
Yes. Yeah, okay. It really does, and it stands out, again, especially on an open room or something. If you patch in a patch with carpet that's the same exact carpet but not made at the same time, it'll stand out like a neon light. So in that case, we take it out of a closet, someplace obscure that you don't see it. We patch that into the repair, and then we put something matching into the closet that doesn't have to be identical. It doesn't have to match. Nobody really sees that.
Well, you do what you can.
Yeah. We always recommend people keep the remnants. You know, when they're having new carpet installed, save the pieces. Roll them up. Put them in a bag. Save them. You paid for them. And you never know when somebody's going to spill some bleach or the dog's going to chew a hole in the carpet or something like that.
When it comes to carpet cleaning, what do you do? What's the most effective treatment? Is it the steam? Is it the dry carpet cleaning that I've seen people advertise? Kyle?
So our main thing is we pre-treat. We still do it the old school way. A lot of companies now, they have the soap come through their solution line. You're never getting a full rinse out of that. So what we do is we have a pump sprayer, and we put all of our soap down first, let it dwell a couple minutes, and then we steam it out. So that gets the soap getting there, breaking down all the dirts, and then you steam it out, and it cleans a lot better. So the soap has time to work. So rather than having the soap come with the steam, it's never really breaking any of that down. So I think that's where our company does a better job, is it gets those traffic lanes a lot better.
How often does a person need to clean their carpet?
We would say minimum of twice a year. I like to tell people spring and fall.
What?
Yeah, because when you get that dirt and everything in there, and then nowadays
that
with
dirty,
the carpet being plastic, that dirt's just breaking down that carpet faster, so you'll get your traffic lanes longer. So I tell everybody spring and fall is a good time to do it.
How booked are you, Joe? I mean, if somebody calls you, how soon can you go see him?
In the busier times of the year, we like to tell people to book us, try to book it about a week out. We always try to keep a spot or two available for same day emergencies. Okay. But we try to tell people, if you can book a week out, do it. But this time of year, obviously the winter, people around here, they don't want to clean the carpets when they're snowing. They're going to track it in. Although we work our way out of the house, so even if we do it during the snow and while it's snowing or raining, we can clean the carpets and work our way out.
All right. But time's up. You guys love what you do, and that tells me you're going to do a great job. FloormastersNV.com, phone number 775-841-5917. Joe, Kyle, a pleasure.
Hey, pleasure's ours. Great meeting you, John. Great meeting you.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Floormasters there, folks. I'm John Potter, live and local, Fox News. Next, be back very quickly. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk, time 10:58.